Okay. 9:33. I'm going to go ahead and get started. I'm sure Sophia is not going to be with us tonight. I think Lisa will be able to join us tonight. I want to welcome everybody who's come on here before. Welcome. If you're new to our conference call, welcome also. My name is Chris. You see me on the RMM prayer wall, and I do postings just every day or every other day. Some of you probably know me from there. Do we have anybody who would like to open us up in prayer? Then we're going to go and make an intro and some announcements. Anyone on here who would like to take a step of faith, bold step, and open us up with prayer? Anyone? Okay. Let me go ahead and open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, me and my brothers and sisters in Christ, we come before you, Father. We want to thank you, Father, for being our God, being our Heavenly Father, for loving us so much that in a week from now we're going to be celebrating your great sacrifice, your great gift to us of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we want to thank Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, for giving us your great gift of giving us your life, that we might be restored to the relationship with our Father in heaven. So, Father, we thank you, Jesus Christ, we thank you. We come before you tonight in this conference call to share your word, your truth. In our situations, we're battling for the faith. And as we do that, Father, we ask that you would come into our conference call. You would join us here. You said if two or more are gathered in your name, you'll be here with us. And you also said if two of you agree on anything on earth, it shall be done in heaven. So I know that I'm in agreement with you and Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ here that you will speak in us and through us in this conference call. Father, I pray that you would give us a word for each and every person on this call or those who will listen to this in the playback later. Father, that you would speak to each of our hearts, that we might hear your word clearly, get a rhema word from you regarding our situation, regarding our marriages, our home, our family, our spouses. Father, that we could allow your word to penetrate, your word, your truth penetrate into our hearts and being led by your word and not our circumstances. So, Father, we pray that you would anoint us with your word, your truth, your Holy Spirit tonight, and put your words in my mouth. Put your words in our hearts and speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I'm going to go ahead and get started here. I don't know if Lisa's on the line or not. If you're new to this call, there are three of us who usually host this call. It's Lisa, Sophia, and myself. I think back in February, March of this year, Lisa was inspired by the Holy Spirit to start a conference call. She called Sophia. Sophia agreed. She called me. I agreed. And since then, we've been doing conference calls. We used to do them weekly. We're now doing it biweekly. We call our conference calls the SOS conference calls, standing on Scripture. Sorry, I lost my place here with my notes. So that's what this call is really about. We are our only affiliation with the Restore Marriage Ministries RMM ministry is that we're just like you. We're setting for our marriages. We rely on a lot of the material that Bob and Charlene put out in their ministry, in their website, the devotionals, the books. We've come to learn a lot about what God says about marriage and standing for marriage. So this conference call is just an offshoot of that. So that's who we are. That's what we do every 2 weeks. Our conference calls are recorded. And for those of you who are new or don't know, the conference call is recorded so we can post it later. There are many people who can't make the conference call, and so they they go into the website and they listen to the the recorded conference calls at a future date. They're all there. Because of that, we would ask that you would not use your spouse's name. And if you use your name, you could use your name if you want, but you don't have to. Because, again, we record these and we post them. The website that we post these conference calls is praisereports.org. And in addition to that, on that same website, there are about 130 restored marriage testimonials. A lot of them are YouTube testimonials, which provide you a link directly to YouTube. There are, I think, some 15 or so written testimonials of restored marriages. And so it's a great website to go and have your faith built up by listening to testimonials, because what a testimony means is do it again. God, do it again. So I know that I've been blessed by listening to testimonials, reading a lot of them, and I've reached the point after reading the Bible and hearing so many testimonials of restored marriages and the variety of ways that God does it in the variety of situations that God restores. It's been, I don't know, maybe about a year or so where I finally came to the conclusion, God's absolutely going to do it for me. And at that point, my stand shifted, a lot of my focus shifted, no longer, you know, licking my wounds and, you know, living, you know, with self-pity and sadness, depression. Once you get to the point of knowing God's going to do it for you, so much changes, because now you're walking out in faith. So having said that, we do record the calls. We post them on praisereports.org. This call is going to be about an hour and a half. If you need to leave and come back at any time, that's fine. You don't need to announce your name when you come back in. Two things I want to announce. On the same website, praisereports.org, there are about 25 of us who are doing a 21-day fast, 21-day fast, starting January 25th. If you go to let me give you the email address, because you can email me directly for any reason, chris@praisereports.org. Email me if you're interested in the 21-day fast. So far, we've got about 25 of us on the list. Email me. I'll send you a link to that page at that website. It goes into greater detail of the types of fasts you can do, the book that we're going to be using for the 21 days, and some other information too, some guidelines if you're new to fasting. It's got some basics in there if you are if you're a veteran of prayer and fasting. It'll still give you some great information in there, and you want to know the book that we're going to be using. The book is a devotional. It's a 20-day devotional. Every single day there's a different devotional, and the whole purpose of the 21-day fast is to kind of push the reset button in our relationship, one-on-one relationship with the Lord. That's why I chose the book that I did. It's by Bob Sorge. The book is titled Reset. You can find that on Amazon. I've got a link on that page to Amazon to find it. And it's really it's an intimate one-on-one prayer with the Lord each and every day of the 21-day fast, just drawing closer to Him. On that same web page for the 21-day fasting, down at the bottom, I've enabled it where we can post and share experiences, maybe share some thoughts and ideas, share, you know, what the Lord is doing, you know, day by day in your 21-day fast. I've heard a lot of testimonials on 21-day fasts. The Lord moves in 21-day fasts. You can do a 3-day fast. The Lord will move. 3 days, 7 days, 21 days, 30 days, 40 days. those seem to be the numbers that we get from the Bible in the various different fasts, you know, from the Old Testament, New Testament, that people have done. So you choose your own. But I will say, God moves. God moves. The reason why God moves is as we draw closer to Him, and this is a scripture in the Bible. The more we draw closer to Him, the more He draws closer to us. So God responds. When we draw closer to Him, He responds by drawing closer to us. I did a 21-day fast at the beginning of this year with Franklin Jensen. I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but if you're familiar with him, you know who I'm referring to. So this year, I felt prompted by the Lord to lead one with us standing for our marriages, and I guarantee many of you will see your circumstances changing. I don't know how. I don't know when. Sometimes it could be during the fast. Sometimes it could be you know, several weeks after the fast, where you'll see God moving in whatever capacity in your life, your marriage, your finances, your job, your living situation, whatever it is that you need, because God knows all of our needs. So I'm excited because not only is this an opportunity for me to draw closer to Him, but I get to share this experience with you guys who are going to join me with this, and I'll be able to hear great testimonials of what God's doing with you guys. So that'll be really, really awesome, an awesome experience. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it. So again, chris@praisereports.org. Email me, and then let me see. Email me. I'll give you the link to the 21-day fast. The second announcement I want to make for tonight is we have, and this is really awesome, we have a special conference call that we've scheduled for, let me go to my notes here, excuse me, January 7th. Bear with me while I pull up my notes. And, okay, here it is. All right, so mark your calendars, and I'm going to give you guys a chance to write this down. January 7th, I believe that's a Tuesday. Now, we only have 45 minutes to do this conference call. This conference call, we've invited Jeff and Cheryl Scruggs. They will be on with us. They're going to be live. They've had a restored marriage. They've written a book about their restored marriage. You could go onto YouTube and you could pull up their, you could put in their name in YouTube, and they have a lot of videos. They've been on NBC, CBS, a lot of the main networks. They've been on some other networks as well. They've been interviewed of their for their restored marriage. So I'm really happy. I've been praying about this for about, I don't know, maybe 8 months, trying to get them on to the conference call. So we finally got them on. The Lord made it work. So January 7th, Tuesday, for 45 minutes, and make a note of the time. It's going to be 8:30 Eastern time. Eastern time. So check your time, whatever time zone you're in. Compare that with Eastern time, 8:30 Eastern time. I will be there to host. Lisa, I hope, will be there, and I'm sure she will. Sophia, I'm sure she'll be there again. Same number, same access number. What I would also like to encourage everyone to do is go check out their book. If I could encourage you, buy their book. You can buy it on Amazon, either ebook or the hard copy. Buy their book. It's I don't know, $10, $9. It's cheaper, I think, if you get the Kindle version. Buy the book and read it, because when I read that, now if there's any men on this call tonight or listening later, guys, you got to get this book, and I'll tell you why. Jeff and Cheryl Scruggs, their marriage, when it hit the rocks, she's the one, Cheryl is the one who stepped out of the marriage. Cheryl is the prodigal wife. We don't hear many of these testimonials where the wife is the one who stepped out. Because if I asked who's on this call right now, I'm going to guarantee you that the majority of people on tonight's conference call right now, live, is going to be, most of you are going to be women. And there might be maybe one, two, maybe at the most three guys. most women are, most of the senators are women. And most of the callers are women here. Why? Because husbands, not that husbands step out of their marriage more than women do. It's just that for whatever reason, women tend to be the standards, and they outnumber the men, you know, in great numbers. I don't have an answer for that. I've been setting for my marriage for, since 2017. So yeah, 2.5 years. I'm not backing off. If anything, my faith grows more fierce, more determined. The more I grow my relationship with the Lord and get to know his word and understanding. But for some reason, men seem to drop off after about 1.5 to 2 years, and I don't know why. I don't know why. I've heard it before. I didn't think it was true, and then I witnessed it myself, and it's a little disheartening. But for you men, this is a great one, because back to the story, Cheryl Scruggs, she stepped out of her marriage, and then she deliberately chose to divorce her husband, Jeff. He fought it. He stood against it. He said no. He did everything he knew how to do. And they were both professing Christians. After their divorce was final, he finally said, "That's it, I'm done." And in his mind, he was moving on. And I don't want to give away too much of the book, but he moved on. He was dating. Within a few months after the divorce was final, the Lord grabbed a hold of Cheryl's heart, spoke to her very clearly, and she said, "Okay, I'm going to go back to my husband because that's what you tell me to do, Lord." So there's a long period of now Cheryl, the wife, now pursues Jeff, her ex-husband, pursues him, and tells him, "I think God wants us to be together." And he said, "No way." Been there, done that, no way. We've heard a similar story. We've heard a similar story by I think it was Deanne. She has a restored marriage, and she did a conference call with us, I think, 4 or 5 months ago. If you go onto our website and you look at the conference calls that we have posted over there, go and look at the testimonial conference call with, I think it was Deanne. And she speaks about that again. She stepped out of her marriage. God brought her back. She had to wait until God turned her husband's heart back toward her, and then they got remarried. Well, Jeff and Cheryl, the same situation. Once God got a hold of Cheryl's heart and turned her around, she's pursuing Jeff, and Jeff says, "Nope, no way, don't talk to me about this ever again. Let's just be the best parents we can to our children and leave it at that." Go read the book and see how God turned it around. But it's great because for us men, we don't have very many testimonials that where the wife stepped out, the husband was a standard, and then the marriage was restored. We don't have very many of those to draw on, because every testimonial we hear is going to give us tidbits of rhema words, tidbits that we can relate to in our situation. So if you're a woman standing, when you hear a testimonial by a woman standing, and for instance, Charlene Steinkamp, you could relate to some or many things that she speaks of in her testimonies and her when she speaks. So for us men standing, it's the same thing. So go read the book. You can find it on Amazon. Just look up Jeff and Cheryl, Cheryl. Scruggs is Scruggs. Scruggs. Check out their YouTube videos of Restored Marriages. Buy the book. It goes into greater detail. I guarantee you, you'll appreciate that. There are parts of that I've read twice, maybe three times, small parts, because for me, there are certain things that Jeff experienced and lived through that resonated with me. And I have to go back and read it again and again and again. And for me, it helped in certain areas. In other areas, I had to pray about. So get the book. And here's the other reason why, and I recommend this, and then we're going to move on to something else. Get the book and read it. See the YouTube videos. But get the book, book and read it, because once you've read the book and you understand their story, here's what we're going to do with the conference call. We're taking questions from you guys, and we're going to sort through them, and the most frequently asked questions we'll present to Jeff and Cheryl for the conference call. So when they come on the conference call, they'll be able to address those questions and then go into greater detail of those questions. So if you have questions for a standing husband, for a prodigal wife, this would be the time, this would be the opportunity. But some of those questions may be answered in the book. So, you know, let's try to avoid some redundant questions, because this is a rare opportunity to ask questions we can't get answered in the book or maybe the YouTube videos that you happen to watch. So let's get some unique questions, some that will really help us, help those who listen to it after, because they can't make the call. But read the book. It's an amazing story. And again, every time we hear a testimonial of a restored marriage, it is a prophetic word to us and our heart and our marriages that God will do it again with us if we only believe, if we only believe. That's all we need to do. This is a fight for faith. It's not a fight for your marriage, because God said he's already going to do it. God's given us the promises. He's given us the assurances. What God needs us to do is stand in faith, fight the good fight of faith. We read that in the New Testament. Fight the good fight of faith, because Jesus already conquered all this at the cross. So really our fight is not flesh and blood. Our fight is, we read that in Ephesians 6, our fight is against princes, principalities, against the dark forces, you know, in high places. It's Satan and his demons. And what is it we're fighting? Well, every day, one of their weapons, our weapons of our warfare, is the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, and we take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the Bible, and we take up the shield of faith, and then we also wrap our feet with the gospel of peace. Those are the weapons of our warfare. They're all spiritual. What's interesting is Satan has his warfare tools and weapons as well. One of them is the thoughts and ideas that he and his fallen angels, his angels, put into our minds. Those thoughts and ideas that, well, what if this and what if that? Well, what if God doesn't do it for you? Well, did you hear what your spouse said? They're never coming back. They're never going to forgive you. They're never going to love you again. All of those. So Satan and his demons will use the thoughts and ideas that are in your voice, making you believe they're your original thoughts and ideas, but they're not. And Satan's also going to use your spouse, the things that they say to you and the things that they do to you, and it's other circumstances. If we walk by faith, not by sight, then the things that we see by sight won't impact us. Well, what is it that we see by sight? What we see is our spouses having, you know, either extramarital affairs, they're running off with the other person, they moved in with the other person. We could see, you know, pictures. Hopefully we shouldn't be seeing pictures on the, you know, on social media, because if we are, we're probably not doing what we should be doing, is staying away from that. But if you're following your spouse on social media and in the physical realm, and you're seeing those things, Satan's using those things against you. Those are the weapons of his warfare. The weapons of his warfare are anybody who speaks anything negative to you about the restoration of your marriage. Anyone. That could be your parents, your parents-in-law. It could be siblings. It could be other extended family members. And it could be people within the church. Yes, it could be people within the church. It could be your counselor. It could be your preacher, your pastor. It could be anybody, but if anybody speaks negatively to you about the restoration of your marriage, chances are pretty good that that Satan's using that person, their mouth, to say those things to you. So Satan's using circumstances, against you and the things that people say, the things that your spouse is saying, and the things that are happening to you, those are the weapons of his warfare. But we're blind to that because we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by what God says, not what by what other people say, including our spouses. So once we're aware of what the warfare is, now we could be on guard to guard our hearts. Because God says in the Bible, guard your heart. Don't let the word of God be stolen from your heart. Every time you're reading the Bible, God's truth is being planted in your heart. Every time you read a devotional by Charlene, from RMF, God's word is being planted into your heart. Don't let, then, you know, you walk away, like the parable that Jesus gave with the farmer and sowing the seed on the ground. Some fell on the hot ground, and it was burned up by the sun. Others was in the thorns, and they were taken up with consumed with the worries and cares of life. Others were stolen by, the birds, stole them. So that's what happens. Don't let the word of God being planted, the seeds and the truth of God being planted in your heart, don't let it be stolen away from you by the cares of the world, the things that Satan is throwing at you, words, actions, circumstances. Those are the weapons of his warfare. Well, we have ours, Satan has it, but ours are more powerful. And after you've done all of this, Ephesians 6, we read this, after we've done all of this, put on the armor, then what? Stand. What are we standing for? We're waiting for the Lord. We're waiting for the Lord to what? To perform his word. Because the Lord watches over his word. This is scripture. The Lord watches over his word to perform it. He values his word, the written word that we have in the Bible. He values it so much that he says this in the Bible. He elevated his own word above his own name. Okay, I want to get into, real quick, I want to go to Psalm 40. If you guys have that on your cell phone, the Bible, or if you have a Bible handy, pull up Psalm 40. I wanted to do this for a few weeks because I read this 2-3 weeks ago, and as I was reading, I was so moved by the Holy Spirit that the first thing that came to my mind was, I've got to share this with my brothers and sisters on the prayer wall in a conference call, because Psalm 40, write this down, Psalm 40, verse 1 through 17, speaks to the standing for their marriage. So if you've got your Bible, pull it out, and let's walk through it real quick, because this is amazing. This is amazing, and I hope this, and I pray that, Lord, touch their hearts as you've touched my heart when I first read this. Okay, Holy Spirit, speak through me. Verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. Every single one of us right now, we're waiting. We're waiting. We're waiting for the Lord to do what he said he was going to do in restoring, bringing our spouses back home and restoring our marriages. We've said this many, many times in conference calls in the past. God wants to restore our marriage more than we do. More than we do. I'm happy about that, because if I know he wants it more than we do, I don't have to beg him for it. I don't have to beg him for it. I don't have to plead with him. I don't have to do that because I know he wants it. I'm not trying to get him to change his mind. He's already said, I hate divorce. He's already said, the two of you I've joined together, you are husband and wife. You are one flesh. He already said, don't let anyone separate you. Who's trying to separate you? Satan is, and his demons. Satan is doing it. It's not life. It's not circumstance. It's Satan. I think we read in, if anyone's got a Bible, I think it's in 2 Timothy chapter 2, at the very end, and last verse, I think that's the verse where it says that our spouses have been blinded by Satan, our enemy, and they've been blinded and taken, their hearts have been taken captive to do his will. All right, let me pause it for a second because we're on this right now. Some of you are saying, yeah, but what about their free will? Okay, nobody runs to a fire. Nobody runs toward death. Nobody runs towards something that's bad for them. Nobody's going to voluntarily stick their hand in fire to get burnt, knowing they're going to get burnt. No one's going to run away from a good thing, which is marriage, and run towards sin and evil, which is divorce or extramarital affair. No one runs toward that because it is a sin and it is demonic and it comes from Satan. So anything that comes from Satan is evil. That's evil. Our spouses are running toward evil and they don't know it. Why? 2 Timothy, someone can pull it up and blurt in here what it is because I have trouble remembering all the scripture where it is exactly. 2 Timothy, so our spouses have been taking, their minds, their hearts have been taken captive because they've allowed Satan through whatever access, whatever means. They've allowed Satan to lie to them and deceive them. They've allowed Satan to deceive them, just like he was in the garden. And once we allow Satan to deceive us in one area, that opens the door for other potential lies and deceptions to come into our hearts, our lives. And that's what our spouses have done. Whether they did it willingly or ignorantly, it doesn't matter. Prodigal spouse. Satan has deceived them, has taken them captive to do his will. Let me ask you this. When was the last time somebody was in prison exercising their free will? Never. You cannot be in a prison and exercise free will at the same time. Because being in prison, you have no free will. Your free will has been hijacked. And that's exactly what's happened. God tells us that the prodigal that's happened to the prodigal. And if their hearts have been deceived by Satan and have been taken captive to do his will, Satan's will, then are they exercising free will? No, they're not. So to truly exercise free will would be to say, I want to go back to my husband, my wife, my kids, my family, my home. And testimonial after testimonial after testimonial proves that when a prodigal comes back to their marriage, they say a variety of things, but all about the same thing. I don't know what I was thinking. I felt like I was out of control and couldn't get control of myself. I felt like my brain was in a fog. A variety of things, but all of them indicate the same thing, that their mind was somehow in a different place. And if I ask each and every one of you on this conference call, how many of you can attest to the fact that you are witnessing your spouse behaving in very weird and unusual and uncharacteristic ways? Like you can look at your spouse right now and say to yourself, that's not the person I married. Because not the person I married doesn't behave, is not behaving this way, was not doing those things, is not doing that. That's not who I married. That's another indicator that Satan has taken their minds captive to do his will, Satan's will. So free will, God wants to restore free will to their minds by freeing them from the land of captivity. So that's okay. So we're going to move on from that point because that's an important point on free will. It comes up often. Well, what about their free will? I heard that from the secular world. I hear from that from the church. The church keeps saying things like, what about their free will? Read the Bible. What does God say about free will? God says it. Okay, moving on. I don't want to belabor that point. Verse 1. We're waiting patiently for the Lord because the Lord, okay, so there's scriptures on this. The Lord is the one who touches the hearts and turns the hearts. Nothing that you and I say or do will, and some of us have tried that. I've said what I could. Nothing moved my wife's heart. I've tried to do things. Nothing moved my wife's heart. The only person who can move your spouse's heart to restore their heart back to you in your marriage is God and Jesus Christ, period. There's many scriptures on this where it says God is the one who, I think it's Proverbs 2, it's either 2:22 or 22:2. Someone can look it up and then correct me later, but I think it's the Lord is the one. He holds the hearts of the kings in his hands and he directs them like flowing channels of water. God and Jesus Christ are the only ones who direct their hearts. When God's ready, he'll touch your spouse's heart and turn their heart back toward you and your marriage. God is the one who gives us the will and desire. God is the one who gives our spouses the will and desire to come home. And God directs our steps. God directs the steps of your prodigal. So when God's ready, God will direct their steps back to you and our marriage and our family. Okay, and I'm getting some static on the line here. Okay, so verse number one. So I waited patiently for the Lord. Why? Because he's doing all of this work. What do? We stand in faith. We stand in faith. Verse one, second part. And he inclined to me and heard my cry. I want you guys to get this. When we cry out to the Lord with our hearts, God hears the cries of our hearts. He hears our prayers. And even in those times, let me say this twice. Even in those times when we don't feel it, when we feel like our prayers are bouncing off the walls, I guarantee you God's hearing them. He turned his ear to hear me, and he heard my cry. So if you think your prayers are going nowhere, journal your prayers. Journal them. Because you will look back later and say, you know what? I prayed for this and God heard me because, you know, X amount of time later, God answered this prayer and God answered that prayer. Again, Psalm 40, it's for us right now in this our marriage crisis and our battle for the faith stand for our marriages. Verse number two, he also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. I love this. Okay, so we have callers on this call right now. Some of you, God has already brought out of the pit of despair, of loneliness, emptiness, of the victim mentality, and he put your feet, because he did that with me. He planted your feet on the rock, which is Jesus Christ, which is the Word of God. He planted your feet firmly on the Word of God, because you are in a different place today than where you were the first day you realized your marriage is in crisis mode. And some of you on this call, you're just beginning your stand for your marriage, and this is where you are. You are in that horrible pit of despair, of wondering, will God do this? Can God do this? Will he do it for me? And if you're in that place right now, that place of a horrible pit, look at the rest, and in that miry clay, God will lift you up. And if you pursue him, he'll lift you up and set your feet on the rock, Jesus Christ, the Word of God. You'll stand firmly on his Word, because the Word will be planted in your heart and it will grow. And as his Word, his promises grow in your heart, the fears, the worries, the anxiety, the stress, the what ifs, they get pushed out and shoved out, and there's no longer any room in your heart, because the Lord's truth, God's truth, so overwhelmingly takes over your heart, there's no room left for the worries, the fears, the doubts, the pulling back from stepping out in faith. So we're either in one of two places in verse 2. We're either have been set on the rock, or we're in the miry, horrible pit in miry clay, but God's going to bring you. If you pursue him, he'll put you on that rock. And he will, listen, look at the last one. And he will establish your steps. He'll give you direction. He'll give you direction what to do in your stand for your marriage. He will, because he wants you to do his will. He can't have you do his will if he doesn't tell you what his will is. Like having a boss who says, hey, thanks for coming into work today. Now read my mind of what I want you to do, what I want you to do at work today. Well, no boss does that. Your boss is going to say, here's what I want you to do today. Here's a list of stuff, right? Well, that's what God does. God's going to direct us. Each of our stands can be different and unique, and God's going to have, you know, different things for me to do than for you. So, again, the 21-day fast is drawing closer to the Lord, because then we'll have a clearer hearing of his voice. All right, moving on to verse number 3. Now, once he has brought us out of, verse 2, once he's brought us out of the horrible pit and the miry clay and put our feet up on the rock and establishes our steps, verse 3, then, I love this part too, Then he put a new song in my mouth. Not a woe is me and oh, pray for me, brother. Pray for me, sister. My marriage and my husband and my wife is doing this and I just, you know, my spouse just said this to me or my husband just said this to me or they just did this thing. Or we don't have, that is removed from our hearts and it's removed from our thought patterns. Because now what happens is once we're standing on the rock, the word of God, his promises, now we have a new song in our mouth. It's a song of praise. I thank the Lord every day. I no longer ask the Lord to restore my marriage because he already said he was going to. Why would I ask the Lord to do something which he's already said he's going to do? Chris, I've already told you 100 times I'm going to restore. Why do you keep asking me? How about thanking me now? Just thank me. We read about that a lot. You know, Charlene talks about that every now and then. You know, just give God praise. Mark 11, 22, 23, 24. Ask whatever you shall in my name and I will do it, that our Father might be glorified. And if you ask and you believe that you've received it, past tense. If you ask and you believe that you've already received it, past tense, it will be done for you. Future tense. See the two tenses there? So we start, once we get that place where our feet are planted on the word of God, the truth of God, that he said he's going to do it, we believe him, now we move forward in that belief and that faith that he's already done it. Because if he says, okay, here's a different scripture. God is not a man that he should lie. He's not a human that he should change his mind. Has he spoken and will not act? Has he promised and will not fulfill the promise? That's one verse. That's one, all of that is packed into one verse. So first, if our feet are planted on the promises he made to us in our prayers for restoration, he's already said, I'm going to do it. Stop asking. Stop begging. Stop crying. Just give me thanks and praise. That's what we get. That's what we get, verse 3. Now he has given us a new song in our mouth, and here's a song. Ready? Praise our God. Give him praise. Give him praise for not what you see. Give him praise for what he said he's going to do. Because if he said it, he's going to do it. God is faithful. He watches over his word to perform it. He's never gone back on his word. And here's another scripture. He is faithful to keep his word even though we break our word. He's faithful even when we're unfaithful. That's a scripture. Look it up. He's faithful even when we are unfaithful. I don't know how anyone standing for their marriage could read Psalm 40 slowly and not get, like, just jump out of your chair screaming with joy, peace, and happiness, screaming with song and praise to the Lord, like, oh my goodness, this is beautiful. There's so much power in this chapter. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. What are we giving him praise for? Well, first we're giving him praise because he gave us Jesus Christ to restore our relationship to God. Number one. Number two, he's given us the promises, the ministry of restoration. If you don't know what that's in the Bible. God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation is that in us and through us, other people who do not know Christ or are prodigal children of Christ, that they might come back to God and to Jesus Christ in their relationship with God and Jesus Christ. We each are given, and we have the ministry of reconciliation of other people to God. So God works in and through us to the extent we allow him to minister to other people, including our spouses. So we have the ministry of reconciling people to God, not just our spouses, but including our spouses as well. So God has given every one of us the ministry to reconcile and restore our spouses to God, our spouses to ourselves, and our marriage. Isn't that awesome? Okay. So we give praise to God for that, and then we also give praise to God because he told us he's going to restore our marriage. And I'm telling every single one of you who's on this phone call, I'm going to guarantee each and every one of you, God has spoken to you already that he's going to restore your marriage. And if you think that he hasn't, you heard him but didn't recognize his voice, because your mind might be clouded with other voices that are not from him. The world, the flesh, our enemy. But God's speaking all the time. God's speaking every day. Are we hearing him? Are we tuning in? Because if we got TV music on, we're always around, people, and we're always, we don't have any quiet time with him, we're not going to hear him. Because he's that quiet, still voice. You're not going to hear a quiet, still voice in a room full of other noise. God's speaking. God wants to be heard. But he's not going to yell. Satan's yelling. Satan, his demons, the world, the flesh, it's yelling and screaming at us all the time. Many will see, second part of verse 3, many will see it and fear and will trust the Lord. What are they going to see and fear? They're going to see the praise in your mouth. I cannot tell you the number of testimonials of restored marriages that I've heard or read where when the standing spouse gets to the point where they're standing on Scripture, they're standing on the promises, they, in their heart, they're not just believing, they're not just hoping, they know. In their heart, they know. There's a firm, absolute, without a doubt, knowing God's going to restore their marriage. When they get to that point and there's praise in their mouth, their spouses look at them and say, "What's going on with you? Why are you not behaving this way or that way? Why am I pushing your buttons and you're not reacting?" Charlene talks about this in her testimonial as well. She talks about, Bob, and Bob admits it. Bob admits it. He says, I try to push all of Charlene's buttons and nothing works. The old Charlene, when I pushed her buttons, she would jump. And I would get a reaction from her. But after she told me, during her stand, when I pushed her buttons, nothing happened. The reaction I got was not the old Charlene. It was a brand new Charlene. Many, many testimonials of a prodigal spouse who witnessed these changes in their spouse's heart while they're standing, and they say a variety of things. I pushed their buttons and it didn't work anymore. All I knew is whatever peace they have in their heart, I want it. I want the same peace that they have. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, when your spouse, your prodigal spouse, sees the peace, the praise of God in your mouth, hears it from your lips, sees that you have peace, the peace of God that passes all understanding, the praise of God in your mouth, and they can't push your buttons anymore, they're going to be attracted to not just you, they're going to be attracted to who's inside of you. God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit are inside of each one of us. And greater is he who's in us than he who's in the world. So they're going to want that, because here's what's going on. With all the prodigals, with all the restored marriage testimonials that I've heard and read again and again and again, we read and we hear from the returning prodigal, they were in absolute miserable situation after situation, and it appears, it might appear on the surface that they're happy. Oh, look, they're happy, and they're going out, they're spending all this money. I guarantee you they're miserable inside, because sin does not reward the heart. Sin is fun for a season. We read that in the Scriptures and the Proverbs. Sin is fun for a season, but then it turns to sourness and bitterness and wormwood inside the heart of the person who's sinning. The prodigal son, he spells it out in the story. But from testimonial after testimonial after testimonial, the prodigal is in misery. But they put on a good face for the spouse they left behind because of shame and guilt. They don't want to admit they made a huge mistake. So what you see is not real. What you see from your spouse, what you observe from your spouse, that they're happy and they're moving on, that's no. Because you know what? They're spending sleepless nights thinking about you. They're hearing from God, pricking their hearts day and night in their sleep, in their dreams, while they're awake. God speaks to them through all means possible. And by the way, God's speaking to them through both Christians and non-Christians. God speaks to the prodigal even through, get this, through secular means. God will use whatever he chooses to speak to your prodigal. And believe me, he's speaking to your prodigal. If you're praying, God hears your prayers. He's honoring your prayers. He stands by his word to perform his word as you are praying his word over your marriage and your spouse. And because and as a result of that, he's pursuing your spouse. Okay, let me continue here because I'm going to run out of time like I sometimes do. So when they see, when our prodigals see the praise in our mouth, in our heart, they will come to fear it because they're going to want to know, what are you doing? What do you got? I want some. And then they will learn to trust the Lord. They will return to the Lord because you're a living testimony of God's power in your life. Now, verse 4, blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Okay, there's a couple things in here real quick, and let me just check on time here. Am I doing okay on time? All right. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust. Okay, as we've all learned, we cannot trust our spouses. I know I'm hearing a bunch of hallelujahs and amen in the background over there. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, not his spouse. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, not the husband, not the wife, not your finances, not your job, not your preacher, no one, just the Lord. What does this mean? This means you have to go to the Lord and the Lord only. Not your preacher. And I'm not saying these things are bad. These are not your primary to go places. They could be second or third, but your number one priority about who to go to, God and Jesus Christ. Make the Lord your trust. Not the preachers, not your parents, not your spouse, not your friends, family, not your job. Don't put trust and faith in your finances or anything else. Like, you know, hey, I'll be fine without my spouse. I've got, you know, job, income, everything else. Put your faith and trust in the Lord for everything. That's what God says. That's what God wants. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust. Okay, so how do we apply that as a standard in our marriages? If you have been dependent upon your spouse for income, for house, whatever, shift your trust from your spouse for those things to the Lord. Now, it doesn't mean that the Lord won't use your spouse to provide some of those things. He may use your spouse, and he often does use your spouse for financial support, for, you know, letting you stay in a marital house, or you know, you stay in that, you know, whatever way they're supporting you. But make sure that you know that God's working through them to provide for you. That's putting your faith in the Lord, not in your spouse. The second part of this verse 4, and we, blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor as such turn aside to lies. This is very important because this here, when I was reading this the first time, what the Holy Spirit was speaking to me is this, is do our spouses right now, one of the things that's happening with them right now is they're full of pride. They're full of pride. And the pride is demonstrated in many ways that they're speaking to you and with the things that they're doing to you. Their pride is saying things like, I deserve a better marriage than the one I have now. I deserve a better spouse than what I have now. I deserve to be happy. And I can't find happiness with my current spouse, you. I deserve to be happy. I deserve a good life. All of these things, these are all pride-driven. They're not humility. They're not humble-filled. They're pride. They're all prideful. I can do better. I would be better off without you. I can do it on my own. And, oh, by the way, Lord, I don't need you either. I've got a job, I've got income, I've got my drugs, I've got my girlfriends, or I've got my boyfriends, or, you know, whatever idol they're chasing, whatever false god they're chasing, whatever lust of the world or of the flesh they're pursuing, it's all driven by pride and selfishness. So when they say things to you, here's what this means for us, and we do not respect the proud. We don't give merit to the things that they are saying, because the things they're saying comes from a heart full of pride. So if the things they're saying comes from a heart full of pride, we give what they say, I'm never coming back, I deserve better, I never loved you, I'll never love you again, you know, move on because I've moved on. All of those things, those are coming from a heart full of pride, and we do not give honor or a place in our heart to those. Why? Because those are lies. Look at the next one. Nor do we turn aside to the light. When we start believing the things our spouses say, we are turning to their lies. We're giving room to their lies in our hearts. We're entertaining them. We're giving them a home in our hearts. And we're now believing their lies. And when we believe their lies, we are also being led astray. Because if we start believing in our hearts that they're never coming home, never, ever, 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 and there's nothing God could ever do, then what's the next step in that process? I'm going to go off and find someone else. Now you've just walked out on your marriage. Now you've just stepped out on your stand for your marriage. Now you've just went contrary to what God told you to do or what God wants you to do. So again, blessed is the man who makes the Lord, not his spouse, his trust, and does not listen to, give room in the heart for the proudful things that your spouse is saying to you, and you are not giving room to the lies and deceptions from their mouth. Does that verse now come to life in your heart right now? Oh, I so urge you to go back and listen to this recording when we post it on the website later, because you want to take one verse at a time and just let the Holy Spirit apply that verse, these verses, to your heart, because this is so written for the standard right now. Verse 5, many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than they can be numbered. Okay, so I love this because the Lord's speaking to us here saying, Chris, whatever fears you faced at the beginning of your marriage crisis, when you look back now, do you see all of your worries, all of your concerns, all of your prayers? I've heard them all, I've addressed them all, and I've made a way where there's no way. And I've provided everything you needed and a lot of things you wanted, I provided for you. So this is now the Lord is speaking to us and to our heart here, because many of us, or some of us, are going to be in a place where our heart is hurting. We're hurting. We're hurting, and we want to know. We want to be loved. We want to be loved. We want to know that someone loves us. We want to know that someone cares about us. We want to know that someone's never going to leave us nor forsake us. We want to know that someone will be faithful and never, never abandon us. And the Lord is saying here in verse 5 to each one of us, have you not seen all my mighty work? All around you, in your life in the past, in others around you, in others' testimonials of restored marriage, do you see my works, which I have done? The second half, that's the first half of verse 5. The second half is, his thoughts toward us cannot be numbered. They're like, God cannot think anything toward us except for good thoughts all the time, constantly, constantly, constantly. There's nothing but good and goodness that comes from God toward us all the time. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Because I'm his son. You guys are his sons and daughters. We're his children. He can't think anything but good thoughts towards us. And he does. Every day he thinks good thoughts. And so many of them, we can't number them. That's what this verse is referring to here is he knows our hearts. He knows the pain. He knows what we're suffering. He knows the challenges. And he wants us to know, I see your heart. I see your pain. I see the cries. I know and I understand. And I want you to know that I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm standing with you. I'm standing by you. I'm inside of you. I go before you and prepare the way. And I think good thoughts towards you all the time. And the number of good thoughts that he thinks towards us are innumerable. We simply cannot count them. And that's not for us collectively. It's for each one of us individually. Okay, move on to verse 6. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. You know what he wants here? Now, I'm not going to give you the full meaning of verse 6. I'm going to give you one portion of verse 6. Verse 6, God's saying, I see your prayers. I see your prayers and fasting. I see all of this. What I really want from you while you're standing for your marriage is I want one thing, really, just one thing. Chris, I want your heart. Will you give me your heart? Those of you who are on this conference call, God wants your heart. That's what he wants. He sacrifices and praise and burnt offerings, those are all great. But he really, really, really just only wants one thing, your heart. He wants your heart. That's verse 6. Verse 7, then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. Now here, I spoke of this earlier. This refers to is that our names, because we're Christians, we believe in Jesus Christ, and he's our Lord and Savior, our names are written in the book of life. We're his children. And we should be delighting. Every day we wake up in the morning, our number one praise and priority and thankfulness should be, Lord, thank you that I'm your son. Thank you that I'm your daughter. I give you my heart. You take care of the rest because I know you think hundreds and thousands of good thoughts towards me every single day. I can't even number them. See how we can put all these verses together? That's the mindset that God wants. See, because here's the other thing. Jesus won't put new wine into old wineskin because it'll burst. Jesus wants to put himself, the new wine, in new wineskin, which is us, a rededication of our hearts to him and God our Father. God wants to restore our marriage, and he will, but one thing God also is saying is, hey, I don't want to bring your spouse back to you if you're still the same person that your spouse left. I want to change you, transform you more into my image so your spouse sees me through you. And once I've changed your heart and your spouse sees me in you and through you, they'll come back because they want me because they've seen me through you. And they'll want to come back to the new you because you've allowed me to transform the old you into a new you, and the new you looks like me, more like my image, which is what God intended in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. He created us in his image, not the image of the world, of lustly desires, lust of the world, of the flesh, our eyes, and chasing after, you know, the world and the fleshly desires. So, we should be thanking God that we are first his and our names are written in the book of life and that we desire to do his will so he might transform our hearts, making us different. So when he brings our spouses back, not only will they have us as a new spouse, a different spouse, but then God will transform our prodigal spouse's heart and then now our marriage is completely going to be different. And every single restored marriage each those couples whom God has restored, they say the new marriage, the new and improved marriage, the 2.0, is better than the first one. And they will never want to go back to the old marriage that they've had before. Doesn't mean it's perfect. It just means that God's at the center, God leads and guides them, and both of them submit themselves to the Lord first and then to each other second. And that's a lot later. But okay, so let me move through because we're getting close to the end of our time. I have proclaimed, verse 9, I have proclaimed the good news of righteousness in the great assembly. Indeed, I do not restrain my lips. O Lord, you yourself know. Okay, you know what this is? Okay, so I love verse 9. I love all the verses in here. Here's what I love about verse 9. Verse 9 means I have told everyone the good news. What's the good news? God's going to restore my marriage. He gave me promises. Look at these scriptures he gave me. Look what he's doing in my life. Look what he's going to do in my marriage. And then when God does bring your spouse back home, and then God does restore your marriage, now you're going to walk around telling everybody that God, when God opens your mouth, you'll be speaking, hey, let me tell you what God did for me and my husband or my wife and my marriage. Let me share with you the testimony of how God restored my marriage. That's verse 9. I have proclaimed your good news of righteousness in the great assembly to the great public and the public at large. Indeed, I do not restrain my lips. I cannot hold myself back from telling everybody that God restored my marriage and how he did it. I guarantee you, when God brings your spouse back home and heals your marriage, you're going to want to go tell everybody. You won't be able to keep it inside. That's God. This is verse 9. Oh, Lord, you yourself know. God knows. Why do you think God's doing it, you guys? One reason of many is God wants to give each one of us a testimony. God's creating a testimony in each one of our lives and our marriages right now as we speak. We may not see it because it could be, a foot ahead of us or a mile ahead of us, but it's ahead of us. We're on that road. It's just in our near future. But God wants to do it because he wants to give us a testimony. Because when we share our testimony, it gives God praise, glory, and honor. And it instills the fear of the Lord in those people who hear, and they either rededicate their lives to God and Jesus Christ, or they come to God for the first time. They come to God through Jesus Christ, and they're restored to God. Because God's will, plan, and desire, John 3:16, he gave his son that no one should perish, but everyone should have everlasting life if they accept Jesus Christ. He's the only way. Verse 10, I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great assembly. This is a piggyback in part 2 of verse 9. Verse 9 and 10 go together. What does this speak of? Everything that God's going to do in the restoration of your marriage, and then post-restoration, after God restores your testimony, you will have a strong desire to share your testimony. And you know what's so great about a testimony? You're not telling people about, well, here's what God says, here's this verse, and here's that verse. You know what you're saying? You're saying, I know God because this is what God did for me. I am first-person witness to what God did. I'm not piggybacking on somebody else's faith or somebody else's testimony. I'm telling you what God did for me. When we personally experience God, no one can shut up our testimony. And it carries so tremendous amount of power and authority that it does touch people's hearts and turns our hearts towards God and Jesus Christ. And everyone who hears our testimony, it becomes prophetic for them and their marriage, just like the ones we listen to. Verse 12, for innumerable evils have surrounded me, my iniquities have overtaken me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head, therefore my heart fails me. Okay, this was a previous condition. See, because it says, for innumerable evils have surrounded me. This is in the past. This is what God has and is saving us through this storm right now, through the storm of our marriage, of our marital crisis. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, before they were thrown into the fire, they were threatened. And then while they were thrown into fire and they were going through the fire, they were still being actively protected while in the fire. Daniel, in the lion's den, while he was in the lion's den, he was being protected second by second by second by the angels from being eaten and attacked by the lions. We even now, we're standing because even now we're being attacked by Satan, our enemy, by the world, by the flesh, and by Satan, our enemy. We're being bombarded with lies and deceptions and lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, whatever it might be. We're still in this battle. But look at this. But here's what God does. For innumerable evils have surrounded. We are surrounded by evil. You, as a stander, are surrounded by evil. I'm surrounded by evil. My iniquities, because we make mistakes. We've sinned in our marriage. We've made mistakes. We may not be the source of the problem in our marriage that led to our crisis. We may not have been the source of it, but we in some way have contributed. And this is what it speaks to. My iniquities, my sins, my mistakes have overtaken me so that I'm not able to look up. Look up to God our Father. God says, come boldly. Hebrews 4. God says, come boldly before my throne of grace, seeking grace and mercy. You made a mistake. I made a mistake. Go to the Lord. Go, get in private. Go to the Lord. Confess your sin so Satan has nowhere to harass you. Because until you confess your sin to the Lord and just be open with him, confess the whole thing, one, he's faithful to forgive you and forget it. Throw your sin in the sea of forgetfulness. But then Satan has no place to attack you with doubt, fear, discouragement, worry, anxiety. Because how many times have we made a mistake and Satan would come and say, hey, now that you've screwed up, oh, you know what? You've screwed up now. You're married. You know what? Forget standing for your marriage. God's never going to bring your spouse back home now. See how you screwed up? See what you did? See what you said? God's never going to do that now. He's never. Forget it. Forget your stand. Forget your marriage. You know what? Just start moving away from your marriage. Forget the past. Forget your spouse. Go find someone else and start new somewhere else. God says, no, don't do that. God says, don't you know my grace is sufficient? Don't you know that my grace, while you were yet a sinner, Jesus died for us on the cross? We were sinners, and Jesus died. How much more now that we're trying to walk in faith, trying to be obedient to God, trying to do the best we can stand for our marriage, and now when we need God's forgiveness and grace, he's folding up his arms and says, oh, no, no more, no more, Chris. I've told you 1,000 times, Chris, don't do it again. You went and did it again. Forget it. Your marriage is over now. Forget what I said about restoring your marriage. Forget about standing. It's over. That's Satan speaking to you. Because God says, I don't care how many times you've messed up. I know your heart. I know you're trying. Come to me. My grace is sufficient. Come to me. Because if I gave my son to die on a cross for you, before you were born, knowing you were going to sin as much as you did before you became a Christian, how much more now that you're trying to walk and follow me and seek my face and my heart and my kingdom and my righteousness, how much more now that you're pursuing me and standing for your marriage on faith, how much more now am I willing to forgive? So don't give room to Satan. If you've made mistakes, don't give room to Satan for him. Go confess it to the Lord. He's faithful to hear your cry, hear your confession. He's faithful to forgive you. And he will, that's why it says, and I am not able to look up. Sometimes when we sin during our stand, we don't want to go to God in prayer. That's what this, my sins have overtaken me. I'm not able to come to the Lord in prayer because they're more than the hairs of my head. Therefore, my heart fails me. Don't let it happen to you. Verse 13, be pleased, O Lord, and to deliver me. And by the way, Lord, would you please hurry? Make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and brought to mutual confusion who seek to destroy my life. Let them be driven backward and brought to dishonor who wish me evil. Okay, we could easily, this is a no-brainer. We could take this and apply this towards the things our spouses are saying and doing towards us, and the real enemy behind our spouses, which is Satan and his demons, who are attempting to kill, steal, and destroy our spouses and our marriage and us. So God is going to bring them to shame and confusion who are trying to destroy us. Well, Satan right now is using our spouses to try to destroy us, because the words that are, the things that our spouses are saying to us are meant by Satan to destroy us, our faith and our stand. If Satan can get us to, if Satan could, by speaking through our spouses, get us to stop believing in God, his word, his truth, his promises, we stop standing for our marriage, and now our marriage is dead, and then we walk away, and it's over. See, because God wants to work in and through us, and God wants us to stand in the gap for our marriages. Satan has already taken the mind of our spouses. We've already established that earlier in this call. Satan wants now to take our minds captive so we can do his will. What's his will? Quit our stand, walk away, go find someone else, and get remarried. And start off with husband or wife number two or three or four or whatever. That's what Satan wants. So Satan's going to speak through our spouses to say evil things, trying to destroy our life, trying to destroy our stand. But God will drive them back, and God will bring them to dishonor. God's going to bring our spouses to dishonor. Think of the prodigal spouse. He left with a name, and he left with a lot of wealth. And when he found himself in the pig pen, his name meant nothing. If anything, it was dishonored, and he had no money left. Verse 15, let them be confounded because of their shame. Again, referring to our prodigals. Let them be confounded because of their shame who say to us, ha, 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 they're laughing at us. They're mocking us. How many times have we heard over and over and over again, you're insane. Why would you be waiting for your spouse to come home? Didn't you hear what they said? Didn't you see that they filed for divorce? Didn't you see that they divorced you? Didn't you see that they moved to, you know, a different state or a different country? Didn't you see that they remarried? Don't you see that they remarried and have a kid with the other spouse? They're laughing at us. They're mocking us. They're making fun of us. They're saying all kinds of things to ridicule us. That's what this is. Let them be confounded because of their shame, those who are laughing at us and mocking us. Verse 16, let all those who seek you, Lord Father Jesus Christ, rejoice and be glad in you. Let those who love you, love your salvation, say continually, Lord, you be magnified. You be magnified in my heart, in my life, in my marriage, and in the restoration of my marriage. See, because when God brings your spouse back home and restores your marriage, all those people in the church, friends, family, neighbors, co-workers, whomever, all those people who made fun of you, mocked you, ridiculed you, all of them will be put to shame. And you know who's going to be magnified? God. God's going to bring them all to shame, and then they will see God in and through the restoration of your marriage. They will see God. They will see his hand. They will see his power, his sovereignty, his authority, that his word is final, not Satan's, that his word is final, not the courts, that his word is final, not your spouse's, that his word is final, not your circumstance. His word is final. And when his word speaks, he will be magnified. And that takes us to our last verse, verse 17. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks upon me. You, Lord, are my helper and my deliverer. Do not delay. God, do not delay. So delay in us being poor and needy in spirit and in our relationship with God and Jesus Christ, but we know that he thinks about us constantly over and over and over and over again, thousands and thousands of good thoughts every single day, each one of us. And he is our help, and he is our deliverer. When he says he's our deliverer, he's not just talking about us as a standing spouse. He's talking about us and our husbands, our wives, our marriages, our family, all of us. He's all of our deliverers. You bet God's going to deliver your spouse from the land of captivity, from doing Satan's will, from his heart or her heart being held captive by Satan to do Satan's will. God will deliver. God will deliver. That's it. That's Psalm 40. And look at this. I've got 6 minutes to spare. I hope and I pray that you've been blessed by this, that you've been able to follow along with me. I will post this conference call in the next few days on the praisereports.org website. Go back and listen to this again. Listen to it. Follow by reading Psalm 40, verse by verse for yourself. But I have something even better for you. I have something even better for you. Go in your quiet time in the next few days. Go in your quiet time. Pull out the Bible. Open to Psalm 40. And let the Lord and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit speak to you directly, verse by verse, of Psalm 40. Because he did it for me. He can do it for you. You don't need me. You don't need a preacher. You don't need a pastor. You've got Jesus Christ. Hebrews 4. I think it's Hebrews 4 again. Hebrews 4. Jesus Christ is our high priest. He's the intercessor between us and God. He's already given us direct access to God. You have the Holy Spirit who will lead you and guide you into all truth. And he will be your educator. He will be your teacher, the Holy Spirit. So let the Holy Spirit wash your heart with the Word of God. So take the Bible, sit quietly somewhere in your house, and spend time with the Lord, and let the Holy Spirit speak God's truth to your heart the same way he spoke to me. Because he wants to. He wants to. So I want to encourage you. I love you guys. I pray for you guys. I'm glad you joined the conference call tonight. I'm glad I was able to share Psalm 40 with you. Well, let me take a few minutes. Does anyone have any questions, any feedback, comments? We'll do a few minutes of that, and we'll close out in prayer. Anybody? No questions, no comments.
Thank you.
I have a comment.
Go ahead.
Sorry. I just wanted to say that I've read Psalm 40. I'm very familiar with it, and you did a very good interpretation or breaking down what each line meant verse for verse. I saw it on the natural end as he was speaking, and now I have a new understanding of it on a spiritual end. So I just wanted to say that you did a good job in that area.
You know, I want to say thank you, but I can't, the only thing I can say is that is completely and totally 100% the Holy Spirit speaking to me when I read this like 3 weeks ago or so. That is completely the Holy Spirit just making it come alive for me as a standard for my wife and my marriage. And as I'm reading it, the Holy Spirit saying again and again and again, for every one of us who is standing, that's for us. So that's the Holy Spirit. Anybody else? I think somebody else wanted to say something. Any other questions, comments? Feel free.
Hello?
Hello, yes?
Hi, hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Hold on.
Okay.
Hold on. Sorry. I'm standing for my marriage, and I was listening to what you were saying about how your spouse say evil things to make you think different. And right now I'm like at the stage where my husband is not communicating with me, not saying anything to me. He blocks me out, He's like completely turned against me, and I know there's nothing but the enemy.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's nothing but the enemy. That does happen. It is common. It is common for the spouse who, the prodigal spouse, to have little to zero communication with the spouse they've left behind. So that's normal. It's common. But I will tell you this, though. It doesn't matter that they've completely shut you out and have zero communication with you. That doesn't matter because God is spirit, and God's spirit is speaking to your husband's spirit every day. God is speaking to his spirit. So this is where we exercise and practice the faith that we have in God, that God is working while we're sleeping. There's a verse that says, God is working while we sleep. That verse, what it really means is, or a different understanding is God's always working. God's always working, and when we pray, God's working on our prayers. So if you're praying for your husband, God hears your prayers, is working on your prayers, even though you don't hear or see anything from your husband, trust and have faith. God is working even when you don't hear or see it. And I've read testimonials. I've read testimonials where there would be 2 years of zero communication. And out of nowhere, suddenly, the spouse comes back home.
Yes.
And the spouses will say, you know, God has never stopped harassing me or pursuing me. And I finally just gave up and said, okay, God, I'm going back home. I'm going back to my spouse. I'm going back home to my marriage. I'm going home. And they would just show up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so be encouraged.
Too.
Be encouraged. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Anybody else? Anybody else? Any other comments, questions?
Yes, good evening.
Good evening.
Hi. This is my first conference call, and I just want to thank you all for just having this. My husband and I went before the court September 6th. And I'm the one that fell, and I have repented. I've asked God to forgive me, and I've asked my husband to forgive me. Some of the things you said tonight, I'm telling you, he told me the same exact thing about I want to move forward. I'm happy. I don't ever want to go back to that dark place I was 3 years ago because he left 3 years ago. And, you know, just like Charlene, not knowing the word, I found. It's been 3 months, and the divorce decree hasn't been signed. And I've just been praying to God that it never gets signed. It never gets signed. We have a 5-year-old, and he's supposed to go visit him for Christmas. And I'm just praying that God will move his heart to want to come back to his family through our son. But I just feel like, because we are at this stage of divorce, I know God can change and heal his heart. It's just that continue to pray and pray and pray that he's moving on the other side of the mountain.
There are testimonials, many, 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 many testimonials of restored marriages where God restores marriage before divorce, after divorce, after a remarriage to someone else outside of the marriage, God has undone other marriages to bring the original spouse back. So what you're asking God to do and what you're praying and believing and having faith for God to do, God has done that many, many times. He would stop a divorce from going through. And even if God does allow it for whatever reason, be encouraged. God can just as easily overturn the divorce decree, bring your husband back, and you get remarried. That happens all the time. There are many, many. Go to praisereports.org website. That's the website that I have. On there, there are 130 restored marriage testimonials, restored marriages. Not like people still standing. Their marriages are restored. And there's all kinds of different scenarios. And the 130 that I have posted are not even scratching the surface of the restored marriages. There are probably another 20 or 30 that I could add. I just don't have the time to do it. There are every single day God is restoring marriages. And it doesn't matter what condition it's in. It doesn't matter the condition of the marriage. If it's been dead, there's a testimonial. I don't know if I posted up there on the website or not. There's a testimonial where God restored a marriage 20 years later. And the only reason it took 20 years later is because neither the husband or the wife were standing for their marriage. Both of them decided we're moving on to somewhere else. Charlene has a testimonial on her website where one marriage was restored, I think, 12 years later. The husband left. The wife was standing initially, and then the divorce went through. Then she remarried. She was a stander at first. She married someone else. That other person, they end up in divorce. She married a third time. That marriage ended in divorce. Mm. And after the third one, God brought her back to the first guy, to her first husband. And that was like, I don't know, 11 years later or so. Mm. So it doesn't matter the condition of your marriage. You pray, you stand on God's word, you stand on God's promises, you walk in faith and obedience, God will do what he said he was going to do. Because God said he would. Because God's not a liar. God watches over his word. And if you're praying, if you're in your prayers, you're praying the scripture, God's word over your marriage, over your spouse, there's no way that you're basically saying to God, God, here's what you said. Now you have to do it. God said, I will. Because God cannot break his word. God cannot break his own covenant with us. He is faithful to keep his word and his promises, and he upholds his word. From Genesis to Revelation, he is faithful to uphold everything that's in there. And even when we screw up, God says, you screwed up, but because I'm faithful, I'm still going to keep my promise. See how faithful God is? See, now, sometimes we think, well, how could God keep it? See, because we keep trying to think that God is like man. See, because if you and I enter into a contract and then I violate the contract, then you come to me and say, well, you broke the contract, you violated the contract, you can get out of the contract because I violated it. But God can't do that. God cannot do that. The covenant we have with God in the New Testament through Jesus Christ is better than the old one. The old one's pretty good, but the new one's even better. But God says, I will watch over my word to perform it. If you're walking in faith, believing in me, praying my scripture back to me, and implementing my word in your life and in your marriage, I must do what I said I was going to do, because otherwise I'm a liar.
Mm-hmm.
And to lie is a sin. So anyway, okay, does that help? So it doesn't matter what condition your marriage is in.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, thank you.
Okay. Okay, any other questions or comments? I'll take one more, and then we'll close it up for prayer. We're over the hour and a half, and I don't want to keep anyone any longer. One more, anyone else? Last chance, last call. Okay. Would anyone like to close us out in prayer? Let me pray. Oh, let me also mention one more thing real quick before I forgot. January 5th and 20 through the 25th, we're doing 21-day prayer and fasting. Email me at chris@praisereports.org for anything. But if you want the website address or the link to the prayer and fasting, 21-day prayer and fasting, email me there. Number two, we have a special conference call coming up on Tuesday, January 7th with a restored marriage couple, Jeff and Cheryl Scruggs. They will share, they will do a Q&A and share a little bit of their restored marriage. Number two. Number three, what's the other thing? Next week is Christmas. We don't plan on having a conference call next week. We may, if there are people who are not going to be with family on Christmas and you're going to be alone, if you want to do a special conference call, email me. We'll set one up. We will set one up Christmas morning. Christmas Eve, Christmas morning, we'll sort it out. But if you're going to be alone on Christmas Day without family, and you'd like to do a special conference call, email me, chris@praisereports.org. Email me, spread the news, post it online on RMM Praise Wall or Prayer Wall. Share with people we don't know who might be in need. So next Thursday night, we're not going to have a conference call. We'll be back in 2 weeks, Thursday night conference call. God bless you all. Merry Christmas to everybody. Remember, the reason why we celebrate Christmas is God gave us Jesus Christ to die on the cross to restore us, reconcile us back to him through Jesus Christ. And he's also given us the ministry of restoration, reconciliation with our spouses and with all those around us as well in our sphere of influence. Okay? So God bless you guys. I'm going to close out in prayer. And you have my email address if you want to connect with me for any reason. Email me, and I'll go close out in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for your Holy Spirit speaking in and through us. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your promises. We thank you for the faith, the hope, and the trust that you've given us in you, in your word, in your Son, Jesus Christ, that anything we ask, you will do. As long as we are faithful and obedient to you, you will move forward and accomplish all that you set out to accomplish in our hearts, in our lives, in our marriages, in our families. Father, I want to pray over everyone who's joined the conference call tonight or who will hear this on playback, that you will bless each and every single husband and wife who are standing for their marriages. Bless each and every one of them, Father, with your truth, with your peace, with your strength, your courage, to continue fighting the good fight of faith, to continue standing for their spouse, standing on your word, on solid rock, which is Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And Father, I want to bless each and every one of them and anoint them with your Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit and the power and authority of Jesus Christ, that you, Father, you, Jesus Christ, will carry them through the next 2 weeks and through Christmas, whatever their situation is with their spouse, whether they'll be with their husband, their wife, their family. Bless them, Father. Carry them through, Father, and give them your peace, Father, that passes all understanding. Father, I bless everyone here on this call in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for hearing our prayers. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for everything you have done. Thank you for everything you will do. Thank you for restoring our marriages. Thank you, Father, for all that you've done. May we be as faithful as your children to do your will and abide in you, Father, seeking your face, your kingdom, and your righteousness. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you, Father. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a Merry Christmas.
Amen. Merry Christmas.
You too. Good night.
Merry Christmas.